Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.
Now, Jeff, we got to clear up something. Ski or snowboard?
Okay, so I snowboard, and the reason is because so I do a lot of water sports, and I like skiing and wakeboarding. Wakeboarding, I always had a more inclining towards. So then when I went to the snow, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just skip the skiing and I'm going to go snowboard.
I'm a former competitive skier. So I've never tried snowboarding in my life. I just haven't been drawn to it. But I heard a joke a long time ago and it always makes me laugh. So please feel free to use it when you go in 3 weeks. It's how does a snowboarder introduce themselves?
I don't know. How do they?
Oops, sorry.
Today, I am super thrilled to have Aaron Shapiro on the show, the innovative mind behind Grillicious. Based in LA, California, Grillicious has transformed the way we enhance flavors in our cooking. Their flagship product, the flavor-infused cooking wipes, brings both flavor and nonstick properties to your favorite cooking surfaces using all natural ingredients. These wipes are not only made in the USA, but they're also certified vegan, gluten-free, keto-friendly, and kosher, making them suitable for a wide variety of dietary preferences. Aaron, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. That was certainly a loaded plate, like a buffet style of information, no?
Absolutely. And we're going to dig into the product and a whole bunch more. But like I said earlier, I think for this year, I have to start telling people, and I want people to know the stories of behind the guests, and we need to know the story of how you fell into food.
You got it. You got it. That's a good one. So should we start from the beginning?
I think so. And we can piece stuff together along the way and or during it, we can even tailgate off. We'll just see how the conversation
goes. Sure. So I was, as far as a persona, I would like to call myself Greg, the good to great griller. Right. So I'm just this guy who, knows how to cook, knows how to prepare foods. But when it came to the grill, there was always this challenge every single time you go out to the grill, and food would stick to it. No matter how clean you got your grill, no matter how clean you didn't get your grill, food was always sticking to it. So I was like, I can beat the system here. I'll take some paper towels and throw some Wesson oil on the paper towels and rub that on the grill. That'll do it. And of course, I wasn't smart enough to do it before the grill was, I did it while the grill was on. So the paper towel would catch on fire immediately. Then you'd get this like ashy, horrible smell of burnt paper towels. And I was like, okay, that doesn't work. And so I started looking at like, well, what's the problem here? And I was like, oh, it must be the oil. I'm using bad oil. So then I started using like olive oil, and I was like, oh, this will do it. And I would use the olive oil and the paper towel wouldn't catch on fire, but it really wasn't doing anything. And the reason that it wasn't doing anything is I was like, why isn't it doing anything? And I learned about smoke points. And the smoke point is when like the efficacy of the oil stops working. And I learned that most olive oils, store-bought olive oils, burn at like anywhere from 350 to 420 degrees Fahrenheit, right? So I'm like, well, most people like me would go to their grill and just crank it up, get it nice and hot. So there was all these solutions like for cleaning the grill, but there wasn't anything that talked about nonstick. And I would like to bring it up because she just posted again, there's a doctor out of Tampa. Right? She's an emergency room doctor, and she always talks about different products to use on the grill because she talks about the dangers of using a wire brush on your grill.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Right? So there's actual many, many stories of people who have ingested tiny wire fragments that go into their system, and it actually damages internal systems. So she has been like a complete advocate. She posted something 2 years ago. It had like 40 million views. Her handle is Dr. Beach Gem 10, right? Just so anybody who's out there who wants to learn more, real serious, very clinical side of the reason. That was a bonus reason for creating Grillicious, right? That it is a safe alternative to a wire grill brush. But getting back to it, I was like, okay, well, you know what? My food is still sticking and I'm still getting the crusty food on the grill. So we had to start to look at oils that had high smoke points. And every oil that we looked at was pretty much, it all came back to avocado oil. Now, the thing with avocado oil, it's very thick, it's very viscous, and it also does have a distinct flavor to it. So a lot of people don't like that in their food. They want something that burns crisp. So we, even though it is a seed oil, we did settle on the safflower oil. And the reason being is that of all the seed oils, it is one of the healthiest. There are health benefits to it. We don't promote that, but it is used in restaurants all over America. It's clean, it's crisp. And most importantly, it has a smoke point of over 520 degrees. So what that means to you, anybody that's cooking, it allows you to cook your food, right? So the food is actually cooking as opposed to the oil burning off and then your food. And then your food is actually what you're doing is preventative burning. But getting back to, like, any questions on that? I'll just take a pause.
To kind of with the seed oils, right? All you hear about is denature, bad, 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 bad. It's like anything in today's world. Unless you live in a remote part of nowhere and you literally grow your own food and you know exactly what's going into it, like it's going to happen, right? You're going to ingest things that probably are not the best for the human body, but it's all about monitoring and how much you put into your body. So even though it's safflower oil, you're not consuming like gallons of this stuff. You're not frying in it. It's enough to basically make it nonstick and to give it flavor. So I like to just want to debunk that a little bit. I mean, it's still out there, but you see bad seed oils, but it's like, well, then don't eat Doritos and Cheetos all day long and replace that with a wipe. And I think you're going to be perfectly fine, but I just had to throw that out there.
And to that point, like, I mean, you go to any grocery store and you look, safflower oil is on the shelf and it is $17 a bottle. It is a premium high oleic oil, which is anybody who does the research on it, which our team has done, and that's why we chose it, has really made a difference. So that addresses the nonstick. But then I was like, well, let's see, like, what's, you know, like, some time passed and I was at a barbecue with a buddy, and his buddy is an executive chef. And of course he's tending grill. And by the way, I like to use the term grill tender, like a bartender, because when you say grill master, it's like, you know, no more master bedroom, all the connotations with master. So I do owe the term grill tending and grill tenders and things like that. I haven't done anything with it yet, but it's just a fun term that means anyone can do it, any age, any ethnicity, background, whatever. It's very inclusive. Let's just call it that, right? So I'm at this barbecue and he's from the Middle East, and all of a sudden he takes out an onion and puts it on the sharp fork and he starts rubbing it on the grill. And I was like, what are you doing that for? He's like, I like the smell, whatever my Middle Eastern accent is. He goes, I like the smell. And I go, does it do anything else? He goes, no, not really. The problem is it burns off really quickly, really quickly. Mm-hmm. I was like, the light bulb just went off. I was like, how do we get like an onion or any particular flavor into a sponge, a wipe, a paper towel of anything, you know what I mean? And that's when the real research started, because there is nothing in the marketplace where there is a device that releases flavor that is all, like to your points earlier, all the health benefits, and is clean and releases flavor in a way that Grillicious does.
Hey, Fifth Fam, hope you're enjoying today's episode with Aaron. As we've been discussing, Grillicious flavor-infused cooking wipes are designed to make cooking easier and more natural, whether you're inside or outside. Aaron has generously offered you all 15% discount on your first order at GorillaciousWipes.com. Just use the code FIF15, that's FIF15 at checkout, or click the link in the description. This isn't a paid ad. It's simply an opportunity for you to try out these innovative wipes. If you do give them a try, I'd love to hear your thoughts, good or bad. Your feedback helps me continue to bring authentic and valuable content to the show. I've never done a promo code like this before, so thank you in advance. Thanks for being part of the Fell Into Food family. Now back to the show.
That was the original genesis. And just to share, onion was one of our core flavors, but it is ridiculously expensive to produce. And interestingly enough, people wanted more unique flavors. Like they felt like onion they could get anywhere, mm-hmm. right? And that was too easy.
Yeah, well, I was doing the digging in the background, and that was going to be one of the questions, is that it was an onion flavored in the beginning, and that kind of explains what happened to that flavor. But it's just funny how those ideas, just the aha moments when you connect two little dots and put them together and say, is there a product? Because I'll be, you know, blunt, when we first met and we talked about this off camera, I was like, what in the heck is this flavored wipe, and why in the hell would I ever use something like this?
That's right.
And I think it took me that full like 24 hours to be like, you know what? I think he's actually got something, because how many times have I, you know, you go to, if you're out in like anywhere, really, they have olive oil stores and they're all infused. And it's like, who wants to buy a liter of rosemary olive oil, whatever it is, whatever kind of oil? I know I don't, because it sits on your shelf. And if you do get one as a present, you use it like one time and you're like, okay, That's great, but I'm not going to use this for everything that I cook.
You know, but it's so funny that you say that, Jeff, because that was part of the other reason is that first of all, you had already gave the plug that it was American made, right? And most olive oils are not made in the United States. I don't know how important that is to your listeners or to anybody, but a lot of people are especially loving the American made. But most olive oils are coming from Greece, Spain, and When they're infused, like, and really all they're doing is adding flavor, and that flavor is extract. And now extract, like everybody knows from cooking with their mom about vanilla extract. We don't use extracts. You can get extracts of any flavor. The challenge with extracts is that they're made with alcohol. And what happens when you put alcohol in heat or in fire? It blows up, right? So that's where you see flare up. So when you cook with Grillicious, and we'll get into like all the use cases in a little bit, but when you cook with Grillicious, there's no flare ups when you're cooking over, like if you're cooking on an open flame of any kind, right? Like in the grill, and especially not if you're cooking on like a griddle or a cast iron pan. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, the thing with olive oils, it's like, you know, do I really want to drop $18 for a bottle of olive oil, have it sit on my shelf for 2 weeks, and it's like I only break it out here? Whereas Grillicious is a much more cost-effective alternative. Mm-hmm. You know, it's made in the USA, and it has all the other, we'll say, benefits that you shared earlier, and we can get into those in a little bit too.
Well, yeah, because infusing an oil too, for those that don't know, if you go home, you're like, okay, you know what? I won't get a flavor oil. Let me just get my olive oil or my avocado oil, whatever oil you're using, and you're going to infuse flavors to it, right? So you still have to heat up the herbs or whatever it is. You have to infuse that into the oil. But when you strain that off, you really only have a few days, because bacteria really like that environment, and it's not going to be an aerobic, and that's why they use the alcohol, because it kills bacteria.
That's right.
The extract. So people are like, oh, I'll just make my own. Well, it doesn't really work that way. You can if you're going to use it all, but it's a process just to make a little bit, or what you're going to make, and the shelf life is so small. So advice, if you make infused oil, a few days, two, three, after that, throw it out. Don't keep
it. Throw it out.
Don't think you're going to be cool and like my, sorry, dad, my dad didn't have spices from like 10 years ago in your cabinet. Don't keep the oil. It's not going to be good.
Well, and just on that point, just to give anyone that's listening or watching a comfort level, Grillicious is made in a major lab, like a food and beverage, aroma lab. This is a company that does the food and flavors. That's what I meant, a flavor lab, sorry. They do the food and flavors for so many household products, whether it's candles or food or otherwise, that bring the flavor in. So that's the reason that we're able to check all the boxes, because this is like, they will not put anything out into the marketplace that doesn't meet the standards of the FDA, right? So everything that we do, you mentioned that we're vegan, you mentioned that we're gluten-free, everything that we do is document certified. So if anybody ever came to us and said, show us the document that you're kosher, here it is. Here's the document that shows that we're gluten-free, whatever it may be. And what's great about it is that we helped launch their flavor division. And so now they have other flavor clients as well. And the reason being is that, like one example, like everybody knows, anybody who cooks knows McCormick's Grillmates. You can buy them off the shelf, right? You're familiar with those, right, Jeff?
Yep. Right. Yep.
So they make a flavor that's called Montreal steak, right? It's got a little spice to it, a little peppery, whatever it is. So I had my team copy that flavor. So now we are testing Grillicious Montreal steak flavor. Obviously, I can't call it that, but we're testing that flavor to see if it elicits the same exact flavor if you just dumped your steak in it, right? And ground it up. Here's the kicker. If you looked at it, there's no chemicals on the Grillicious side. It's 100% all natural. Whereas if you look at Grillmates from McCormick's, you have sodium, you have all these things that none of us can pronounce. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but ultimately I would love Grillicious to partner with a company like McCormick's, because everything they do is dry and it's powdered. So imagine that Grillicious flavors were powered by McCormick or something like that. So that's the dream exit. And, you know, whether it's 1, 3, 5 years, as I put the head on the pillow, yes, I would like McCormick. I would like the McCormick.
All right. So McCormick, if you're listening, anyone in McCormick, anyone in my circle, contact Aaron, contact me. I'll put you in touch with them.
That's right. And by the way,
the ideas are there.
You McCormick, some of the McCormick social team, you guys know we exist. You're responding to some of our stuff on social media. So, you know, we're out there. But,
so I want to go to two things real quick. So you know, obviously we mentioned like vegan, kosher, everything certified. Was that part of the initial, like, you know, when you thought of the idea? Was that part like before you even launched? You're like, it has to be. Okay.
Had to be. And the reason being is that, you know, if I can speak candidly, you know, everybody has their little nuances with food. But when it came to because originally Grillicious started off as a grilling product, and it quickly evolved into a cooking product. So the example the origin story I shared always started on the grill. But then all of a sudden people were like, well, I'll just use this in cast iron. And they're like, oh, can I just use this in my nonstick pan? They're like, oh, can I use this in a Dutch oven? Can I use this in my air fryer? Right. And you're like, well, yes, 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 and yes, of course you can. And what they found is that it made cooking easier, and the convenience of cooking just like went through the roof, because it was like, oh, all I have to do is do that. And I don't have to worry about measuring oil. I don't have to worry about if it's fresh. I don't have to worry about if it's organic. I don't have to worry about, I shouldn't say organic, we're not organic, my bad. I shouldn't have to worry about if it's all natural. So those were the things that we went into. So when it came to cooking on the grill first, you know, guys like us, we're getting older. We got to make sure we watch our sodium intake. So that was the first thing. How do we do this without sodium? Number two was no alcohol, the no flare-ups, right? So that was number two important. Number three was like, okay, well, you know what? It's like, if we want to cater to all segments, you know what? Some people like to eat kosher. They like to eat clean. So we needed to make sure it was kosher. And then the gluten-free, I mean, everybody, that is the number one question that comes up when we do live shows. They're like, oh, it's a gluten-free. I have a very specific diet. I can't do that. Yes, 100% gluten-free. And what that does is it gives them the freedom to cook their steaks, their chicken, whatever, their tofu, whatever it may be, in a way that's never been done before. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing in flavor to it. Now, keep in mind, it's a flavor enhancement. Some people love to use it straight up without anything, right? And you definitely get a flavor impact. However, a lot of people like to just salt and pepper and then use Grillicious, right? it can be used in any combination that you want, and it will definitely transform whatever it is that you're cooking in a way, because not only going back to the nonstick, when the food doesn't stick and you're cooking at a high heat, it allows that food to basically take on the juices of the food. Because usually when you cook at a high heat and it burns off, those juices go away, mm-hmm. right? So you don't have that like in the pan, in the surface or anything like that. So those are the must-haves. I'm just refreshing my own memory. You know, all the things like peanut allergen-free, that was another huge one, right? We had to make sure that there were no allergens, that we didn't use peanut oil or anything like that, because these are all the things that like when you do the research, those are the things that come at the top of the list: gluten-free, peanut allergy, and sodium. Those are the top three.
Yeah, you don't want to just offset a group of people if you can, right? There are some products that you're not going to be able to get away from, because that's the nature of whatever you're making or trying to build. But given that it has all those boxes checked, it's an everyone product in a blue ocean market, which again is even better than the saturated market that's already there. So let's rewind. So you're out tailgating, you see the onion, the aha comes on. But then, you know, starting a business and a product is just not as simple as, okay, I've got an idea. A lot of us have great ideas, but actually bring it to life. So pick up from kind of where that was to then being like, all right, how do I actually make this a reality?
Okay. So the first thing was testing, right? You had to test it. That's how I remember when, before I moved away from the extract. So I ordered from a company, all these different flavored extracts. I'm like, oh, we're good to go. And they're all sitting in the little white vials, just like you would see. And I was testing them myself. And I was like, let me just check. And I took a fire starter, and I just wanted to see. They all lit on fire. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, back to the drawing board. And that's how I found this company in Marietta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. And they do FDA, like I said, regulated food flavorings that only one other company in America that I found in Dallas does it, right? So to be able to find that, now it was like, okay, what device do we put it in? So speaking with the patent attorneys, when they saw what this product was, they knew that the patent had to be about the application of it. Because everybody just said, oh, why don't you just put it in a bottle? And I was like, well, no, then you get to back to the same thing. It's like, it puts it in the category of PAM and olive oil sprays. And we want to be different than that. We want to, and then on top of it, we don't want to even be remotely considered a cleaning product in any way. So we were looking at devices, and anybody who's ever bought the magic eraser from Mr. Clean, right? Like, that eraser is nice and thick. And for your walls, you're like, yeah, I could use that a couple of times, but you're not going to use that on your pans or on your grill or anything like that. So we were like, okay, can we make it thinner? And we started getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And then we were like, well, it's actually like a wipe, you know, now that we think about it. And then the question became, well, what's this wipe made of? So we had to do extensive research looking for all these textile manufacturers. We found one in the United States or outside of Buffalo. We used another one that was in Ohio, and they have created a fabric that is made from recycled materials that burns at about 700 degrees. So now when the infusion process goes into the wipe, now that wipe gets completely saturated, right? So it absorbs amazingly. But after you're done using it, I would say that you can use it on a grill one time, but if you're cooking in an 8-inch pan, use that one time, put it back in, because you know that that pan is 100% clean from when you cleaned it last time, right? So that gives you a couple of uses out of each wipe. But what we see is, if all you have to do is go to Instagram and watch, what happens is that people are saying like, okay, I wipe my pan down. And then as the food's cooking, they grab the wipe again and they squeeze it out to get that extra flavor on their food, right? So the wipe, then it's fully exhausted, right? And then what do you do with it? I put it in the recycling bin. What if I'm cooking on my barbecue? You can just drop it into the flame and it'll completely burn up non-toxically, right? So when you look at it from that lens, we were like, how do we make this environmentally conscious in a way that's that that people who are taking it to their backyard, to their campsite with their RV or their tailgate can dispose of it in a way that is safe, environmentally friendly. Make sense, Jeff?
Yeah, that's where I mean, my head just went because I didn't even realize that, you know, you could just burn it up, right? You're out camping, you just throw it in your campfire, let it burn up. That's one less piece of trash or thing that you have to leave around or bring back with you. It's got oil, potential residue, because there's still going to be something on it. Or again, like a tailgate, just throw it in the fire and then you're done with it. I never even like that. That's a great selling point, especially from an environmental friendly, as close as humanly possible to making it fit for, again, another bucket of people who are like, well, I don't want a single use application because it's bad for the environment. Well, if it's made from recycled material and you can recycle it, well, you know, you're doing your part as a business owner to kind of check that box too.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is that when we first hit the market in 2023, we were selling them as six packs. And what we realized was that like that's six meals, right? So, and because it had the cachet in the beginning of a grill, I mean, for grilling, how many times are you going to grill in a calendar year? You know, take, you know, we talk about like weather and where we are, right? You know, it's a proven fact that, like some research company, I think like 43% of Americans will grill year round, right? So great, they're our audience, right? Yeah. But most people are cooking indoors, right? So how do we make it part of the everyday, right? So we'll talk about like some of those extensions maybe in a little bit, like the camping and the tailgating. But when you're cooking in the kitchen, the number one thing you don't want to have to do is mince garlic, right? Mincing garlic is, let's just call it what it is. It's a pain in the ass. Unless you're an Italian chef and you're doing nice, really thin slices of garlic that are paper thin, you know, it is an arduous process. And we have this, it's really interesting with the garlic specifically, when people open it, there's a wow factor. And right now we're putting together a video of influencers unpaid that they just open the package and then you just see them go, whoa, right? And the reason being is that it comes out of the package very, very strong. Right. So people are like, oh my God, my whole house smells like garlic. And they love it. They absolutely love it. But what happens as you cook, sometimes it dissipates, like the flavor will dissipate just from heat. So that's right. Why you're starting to see the people squeeze it at the end, because they want that last blast of flavor, if you will. Does that make sense too, Jeff?
It does. And so if you can figure out how to take the garlic smell and put that into a jar and make a candle, I'll buy all of them, because I love cooking with garlic. I love that smell. My son has started to be like, Daddy, are you doing the garlic? And I'm like, yes, it's going to have garlic in it. It's just that aroma is just so intoxicating.
It is. And it's funny because, you know, my wife, who's completely supportive for the last couple of years on this, we went to a friend's birthday party and their grill was over here, right? And there was about 15 people, maybe, and no exaggeration, 20 yards away. Right. Or 20 feet away or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my buddy knew that. He's like, okay, let's get the Grillicious going. He put the Grillicious down and my wife got to see this in action. Literally every single person in that group turned around at the same time and said, what is that smell that you're cooking? And like, they were just like, we need more of it. You know, so to your point, you know, I never thought about the candle thing, because the company that does our product makes candles for one of the biggest retailers in the world, right?
So I'm just saying there's going to be weirdos. Maybe we're not weird, maybe we're regular, maybe it's just food people. But if you figure out how to just like tone it down so it's not like this immense, like all the time, but just that. This subtle smell, oh my God,
I we can do that. That is, well, you know, here's some other thoughts. I mean, like, not to take us off target, but You know, if Goop can sell the flavored candles that they're selling, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, right? Some pretty, we'll call them, you very unique flavors. Maybe you're right, Jeff. Maybe there's a garlic candle in the waiting that I can just sell on Etsy or something like that.
Right? Hey, there you go. I'm right there with you. We'll bang heads together. You have all the technical side. I'll just make sure it's
well. And just as one tangent, just to, it's within the same. There are two extensions of Grillicious that we have in the business plan. One is probably not as prominent, but you know the starter logs?
Yeah.
Well, imagine that we infuse the flavor into those starter logs. So you throw that in your fireplace over Christmas. And now, to your point, it's like rosemary, it's, you know, myrrh, whatever Christmas flavors that you want. So we haven't tested that yet, but it's just one of the extensions that we're talking about. And the other extension for other flavors that you wouldn't necessarily, you might not use for cooking, is that we created spray and sip from Grillicious. And this is when you use it in cocktails, and we sell that to the restaurant trade. So imagine that you wanted a spicy drink, spray it in like just a pump, not a spray, but a pump into the glass, and then you mix your drink. It transforms the drink in a way that's never been done before. It's a huge market, and you know, it's just another way to use Grillicious and to bring those two together. I actually use the habanero to make a gazpacho, a watermelon gazpacho. Basil watermelon gazpacho, and I used it and I served it at a dinner party for like 12 people. And it was like that kind of thing when you eat salsa, they're like, I can't get enough of it. Right. And it was just delicious. But those are things that are in product development. We're excited about that, but let's get back.
Where that goes, again, my mind is there sometimes, you know, especially for the home cook, you don't have access to some of these ingredients, or it's so expensive to buy what you need for a very small amount. Like I'm thinking like, mint, right? I want to make like a mint watermelon feta salad in the summer, but I don't want to buy this big batch of mint. Well, if I could just honestly spray the watermelon with that liquid or toss it in it, right? I could then infuse that flavor. But there you go, right there on the screen. I could use that flavor and still achieve what I'm trying to do, which is infuse that mint flavor, because you're not going to eat the mint. You're going to pull it off of the watermelon anyways. You want it just infused in. But you're going to get that flavor, man. The applications are just, there's a lot of applications.
There's a ton. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And you know, what's funny is that we also created a vanilla flavor. So to use in baking, right? So imagine you're making like muffins or something like that. You spray each with a little bit of vanilla. Now, all of a sudden you're getting this like wonderful vanilla-y smell. And to your point, makes for a great candle as well.
Oh yeah. So when you get the vanilla done, I want to try it, because my wife's cousin, she had always made Rice Krispie treats, and I'd eat them and I'd be like, why is yours taste 10 times better than mine? Right. Literally, it's marshmallows, butter, and Rice Krispies. It's the recipe, right? She goes, oh, I add vanilla extract. I go, what? She goes, yeah, just put a little bit in there. And now all I do is put vanilla extract. And people are like, why are your Rice Krispie treats so good? And I'm like,
I'm gonna try that as well. I love that idea.
It's so good. And it's just a subtle amount. Like if you're doing like a normal batch with like 6 cups of Rice Krispies, it's literally like a teaspoon or two. That's it. It doesn't take a lot. And it's just adding flavor. And
it's delicious. It's even less, right? Because it's just a white. But it's so funny that you say that, Jeff, because one of the most popular use cases for Grillicious came from that kind of like consumer. So we have an influencer down in Houston, and her name is Spiffer Girl, and she makes amazing food, right? And one time, like, so I sent her a bunch, and she's cooked up a ton of stuff with Grillicious, big fan. And what was really cool is that really took off is that she used the garlic on the outside of a baked potato. Right. So you rub down the baked potato, rub down, and then a little salt, a little pepper, and then you cook your baked potato either, you know, wrapped in foil or not. And it's unbelievable that when you go to eat that potato, you're like, I want the skin, I want the inside, I want the outside. So I love when our influencers and our consumers have used it in ways that it was, I don't want to say it was never designed for, but it was like, God, I wish I had thought of that, right? And the other one that goes into that bucket is using it on cedar planks. So, you know, when you cook salmon. So everybody just throws the salmon on the grill or wherever they're cooking it. The cedar plank cooks up and their salmon is flavored. Now you can take a mesquite flavored Grillicious Wipe, sweet mesquite, rub that on the board, right? Then rub a little bit on or drop a little bit on the fish. You're going to have like the most amazing smoky sweetness, mesquite flavored salmon that you've ever had.
Yeah. So we're talking about flavors. I want to ask, so the onion, obviously it was there, but then kind of, it was like, nah, everyone that flavor. So where are we at with flavors today? And were they the same as kind of the original conception, or has it just been continuing to evolve?
It continually evolves. So top seller without a doubt is the garlic. There's no question about that. Secondly is the mesquite. And then habanero definitely is a strong contender. And I think we see habanero with an uptick because when you package Grillicious and like when you buy the bundles, like the sweet and spicy bundle, I'm sorry, the smoky spicy bundle, you know, you get the habanero heat, you get habanero heat, sweet mesquite, and hearty hickory. So you get that smoky and you can combine them. There's no rules, right? So if you want like garlic and smoky, take a little bit of each wipe and put that in, and it's going to bring those flavors forward. But those are the flavors. We have rosemary. It doesn't seem that it was as popular in this holiday season as it was last year. So, you know, you got to focus where, you know, the primary focus is, which is garlic, mesquite, hickory, and habanero. And like I said, we're in development with a couple of flavors, you know, we'll call it the steak seasoning flavors and things like that. Those are coming down the line. And, you know, it's one of the things that's also come up was just comboing. So if you go to any grocery store and you look at all the packets of stuff that you can buy, the high sodium stuff, it's like, how many times have you seen citrus habanero, right? Or something like that. So we can very easily do that. And we probably will, like, just to take our habanero and just add citrus to it. So it has that lemony, more orangey flavor, because habaneros are more like that kind of sweet fruit, that kind of citrusy fruit. We've talked about doing a lemon flavor, but the thing is, with a lemon flavor, it almost borderline smells like cleaner, right?
Yeah,
and it's just like so we're staying away from that, and you know, we constantly think about we watch. You know, the food trends, whether they're coming from global or from the US, but like pumpkin is a huge thing. Is it really going to be worthy of a whole production line? Probably not, right? But those are the types of things that when it comes to flavors that we're always thinking about. Do you have an idea, Jeff?
Well, actually my little gerbil in my brain is actually spinning. And I just start to think about accessibility of flavor profiles, right? I start thinking global flavors, right? Different cuisines that a lot of people are afraid to do Korean cooking, unless you come from those type of households where that is the cooking, those flavors, they can get expensive. I have a Japanese market right by my house, and I did a project and I did some Korean cooking. I was overwhelmed. I walked in, nothing is in English. The folks, God bless them. One of them spoke just enough that they could like type stuff into a phone and then find it for me. But it was very daunting to find these spices and herbs and different things that I needed to make the dish authentic. I just think of like global cuisines and like being able to take that and to be able to do, I want to do tandoori chicken. You have the wipe.
It's a great idea.
Boom, you can make tandoori chicken, but you don't need all those ingredients to execute, right? Yes, you know, people be like, well, that's not 100% authentic. Well, you know, come on. We're in today's world where if you can get something close, you know, we're not a restaurant. We're cooking at home. We want our families to eat.
Yeah.
How do we bring some of that world cuisine? And so I just start thinking about how many times you want to do a beef stir fry or just something where you're just, it's not a lot and you don't need a lot.
Yeah, no. And to your point on that, we were partnered with an author and chef, and her name is escaping me right now. I feel bad for that, but she cooks in a wok all the time, and wok cooking is so conducive for grillicious as another surface. But we have heard, we've been asked to create a Korean barbecue flavor, right? Yeah. And I look at the explosion of, and I can't remember the name of the product, but it's sold on every shelf. It's the Japanese barbecue sauce. It's like,
oh, you know, yes.
It's in the ketchup bottle, like with mm-hmm. the little top. Like they are crushing it with that. So yeah. Any other flavor thoughts? I like the, to make it is, that's not the problem. It's producing, like creating enough demand for
it's which you put first, the horse or the cart. You got to have the demand to make it, but at the same time, you can never get new stuff out if you don't get it out. So I can see the dilemma there.
And going back to your original question, Jeff, that's why we came out with onion and rosemary. Those were like, we had six flavors, but you gotta fail fast in this business, right?
Yep.
If it's not moving, don't move it, right? And don't produce it, because you're just going to end up spending so much money on production and packaging and shipping. And it's just like, you can't just have these stars in your eyes. You have to like really know when it's right to sunset, like a skew, if you will.
Yeah.
If you
want to, and so I wanted to ask then, because you said that about failing fast and you've figured it out. You've taken kind of the emotion of like, I've got a product, I like this, but you're not, some entrepreneurs just stick to it and they're like, no, I'm going to make this work. People will want it because in their head, they're like, no, this is what I like. This is what I want. So, if you could look back or give a piece of advice, through the journey, like outside of what you just said, what other pieces of advice or CPG, I have a lot of people that I talk to in the CPG space. What other piece of advice would you give another, a potential founder that's looking to make a food product?
If you're in the CPG space, number one is a must is to be a member of Startup CPG, which is an amazing online community, like full of resources, like when it came time to finding, the in-store display, like the cardboard box that it goes in, the POP, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, I had me and my team calling different vendors around the country. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is like, and they're some are quoting 2,000, some are quoting 5,000. I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous on multiple levels. So I reached out to the Startup CPG community and I said, how do I approach this? They're like, go into the queue and say who, blah, 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 and just type it. Had 8 responses. I sourced 3 vendors, and within 3 days, I ordered my product and had it within a week, right? It's wow. like that process, right? Where you're just like, you're shopping vendors, whether it's someone for packaging, for co-packaging, just for labels or, just that kind of printed stuff. Like Startup CPG is it is without a doubt a resource that you have to have if you're going to go into this space, right? That's number one. Number two, I would say not everybody's going to love your product, right? Be aware of like the feedback that you're going to get and be resilient to it. Don't fight that person in the position. Right. If they were like, oh, well, it kind of tasted like this. It's like, okay, you know what? That's why it's called taste. Everybody has their own taste. And what's interesting is that it's okay to say no. Right. So we have said no on multiple occasions, and I'll give you 2 no's, very big no's that we said. We have said no to both QVC and QVC and HSN. And they wanted to take the product and repackage it. And I was just like, no, that's a hard no. It's like, you want to get this, you get the stars in your eyes. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to be on QVC. And we were locked in with a time slot and, for me to be on camera and talk for 7 minutes with it, with one of their chefs. And I was like, it's just, you have to be really careful about the investment that you're going to make in the investment in the business, not the investment that you take, but the, like, how do you spend the capital that you have? And, mm-hmm. and you have to be really smart about it. And that's where the failing fast comes in. Like not to disparage, and this isn't a disparaging comment, there's a show called Outdoor Retailer, right? So it's for people who love the outdoor life and living the outdoor life and things like that. And I was like, you know, this is going to, you know, for a small company to drop $8,000 with travel expenses and all that kind of stuff, you're like, you know, I just didn't feel right about it. And I went to the show and I didn't feel right when I was at the show. And I was like, obviously I have, you know, a positive attitude and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, this is not the right place for us. This is absolutely not the right place. And like, that's an expensive lesson to learn, right? That one's tough. Other things where you're just putting it out there just to see if the audience bites, right? See if like you, like what they're thinking. Like one audience segment that we know is starting to bite is the camping segment. Right. So like, as an example, we're an approved vendor for KOA, right? KOA camp.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So as like, you know, most of those campgrounds across the country are closed still, right? It's still January. Right. So we are in the process of selling them cases so they can put it in their little stores. And you think about the mindset of the people who are camping. They're like, they go in the store, they may buy like lighter fluid or a six pack or what matches or whatever it is. And now there's going to be this product for $10. They're like, oh my God, I can cook. I can cook garlic or mesquite or habanero, whatever. They're like, we sold a bunch at a live show, which was really optimistic. And now the press is on. The good news is that it's a limited audience. There's only 500 KOA campsites,
right?
But you know what? We get 100 of them, you get 20% of them to buy a case. Now, all of a sudden, that's a good business. And the truth is, like, in terms of failing fast, there is no fail fast. It's like, all we're doing is sending emails, right? They like, everybody knows that we're an approved vendor. Now it's just getting them over the hump to spend, you know, the wholesale price, which is less, it's like $100, you know, so for them to take it on. And I give them the luxury of doing an assorted package, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're buying 24 garlic, they're buying six garlic, six this, six that, six that. And then this way we can see what moves in their particular little store for their campers. And, you know, like, it just enhances their, that camping experience. So that segment we're excited about. I would say, I don't want to say we failed, but we're just not putting as much effort against it. Do you know what overlanding is, Jeff?
I don't.
So like, if you were to go up the scale, you have car camping in a tent, then maybe you have your camper van, right?
Okay.
Then you have your RVs, you know, even your, like your big class bus size, like tour bus.
Yep.
Then after that, they have this category called overlanding. And these are people who purchase like fire trucks and like size vehicles and convert them to go completely off the grid. Right? You don't need hookups for them in any way. And that community, they definitely love Grillicious, but they're not buying it with the velocity that we need, right? For whatever reason, I don't know, like we've done shows in Colorado and Arizona, like these are major, major shows. And I think part of the challenge is the people who are exhibiting are our audience. Yet the people walking through, I don't want to say they're not real, real overlanders, but they're like looky-loos, right? They're like, oh, this is cool. You know,
they're the real estate people. They want to buy a house or they have dreams of buying a house and they go into the open houses on the weekend with no intention of buying any house.
That's right. Right. So, and just like I was sharing with you earlier, finding tailgating audiences and finding overland audiences without, you know, like without spamming them in a gross way. It's like, I have to go to these shows and collect cards and do the face-to-face and have my team do that. And that is far more exhaustive than having a booth, right? Like at a show for people to walk by, even though the sales were strong, it was just like, you know? So I really feel that the cooking in the kitchen, cooking in the backyard and camping of any kind are the home runs. And that's what we're focusing on in 2025. And on top of that, or I should say as part of that, it's the retail play. So, you know, you can buy Grillicious at walmart.com right now. We're going live we're on Amazon. That was just started because that was by choice because a lot of retailers liked that they weren't competing with Amazon. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, we're are onboarding with Tractor Supply Company. We're onboarding with Lowe's. And we have a variety of strategic partnerships that are in place, like one with the Grommet. If anybody's checked it out, it's all like entrepreneurs from around the country selling crazy awesome products. Check out the Grommet. Anybody listening, just let them know that Grillicious sent you. And whether you buy Grillicious or anything there, it's all about that community of entrepreneurs who have created really helpful problem-solving products. It's awesome. So I love that, giving them a little plug. And then there's other, other retail like locations that people don't really think about. Like we're in negotiations right now with the U.S. Coast Guard, right? Hmm. To be in all the PXs around the country. And if we can get that going and we use that as a case study, the idea is to obviously get to the Army bases and the Marine bases, which are massive, right? And then we start to get into programs where we're giving back to the armed forces in some capacity. We would love to be able to be in we are in a position to be able to do that. We need them to green light it. And the U.S. Coast Guard hopefully will be our first step in that direction.
I have a question for you. And it's just from a segment standpoint, because I've been thinking a lot about it lately. And that is online live social shopping. It's become more and more, right? You go onto TikTok and there's TikTok shop. You go onto Facebook and there's some live shopping. So think of QVC, but individuals doing it and then it's popping up on your For You pages. What are your thoughts on that? Do you see that in the food sector becoming more and more? Obviously, right now, there's nothing like, there's no real food. I haven't seen any like food products. It's all like camera tripods or a camera or a cover, something non-food. But just, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on
that. I think what you see is that a lot of like chefs, not influencers who cook. There's a huge distinction between those two, right? Like I think chefs, if they really are into a product, they'll stand behind it. So we have a chef who also happens to be a Chop champion, right? And she just loved the product. She was the first one that actually did the squeeze on the food. And when I saw her do that, I was like, I was almost taken aback, like, oh my God, what are you doing? Right. And I think, and she's done a great job of promoting Grillicious in a non-salesy way. But there is a platform, and you can check this out, and we're on it, and we've done a little bit of sales on it. It's called Flip. And Flip is an app-based platform where it would be, imagine you, Jeff, being like, I like Grillicious. I'm going to just pitch it on Flip. And if anybody buys it, that's great. You know what I mean? And of course, if they do buy it, you get a piece of that action, right?
Not
through codes, not through like any of that stuff, but like they're doing it within the food space, right? So to answer your question specifically, so you've seen some food products on there. It's like to do that to do what you're saying, I think requires so much bandwidth from whoever's producing it. And that makes it harder and maybe why they're less reluctant, because to focus on one product might be challenging. Whereas like if I was able to get Grillicious in a position where we were one of the elements that people were using and do it that way. So like when you watch a lot of our posts that influencers have done, they're cooking, like going back to what I was saying, is that they're using other products with it, like, whether it's a spice rub or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if they were to put it in a way that you're talking about, like I can certainly position that to Spiffer Girl down in Houston to say, how do we create a selling page where, because I know she also sells the citrus spray. I don't know if you've ever seen the citrus safe.
Yeah.
You ever see that in the blue? Like she's a big seller of that. Like we'd have to figure it out, like without, but the whole idea is that that becomes like almost like an infomercial, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like an infomercial for citrus safe. It's an infomercial at the same time for Grillicious. Tell me more about like what you're thinking. I'd love to.
When I'm on social, just gaining info and see the traction of it. I know in China it's been massive for years, and I think it's starting to pick up more and more. You just see people right there. Again, even if it's something as simple as a tripod that they like, or they're the big stick or whatever for their camera. But then they spend, you know, whatever, I don't know how long they spend on there, and they just go over the product over and over. I don't know. I've just looked at it and been like, I don't see that for food a whole lot. And would anyone ever, it's almost like a direct sales, right? Like if they click buy, it's going right into wherever your warehouse is. And then it's getting like a direct ship, almost as if they went to your website, but just through that platform. And then whatever creator or whoever jumps on the product. I haven't seen it, and I never have really asked anyone. It's just been one of those ideas in my head. Like, I haven't seen this. Why doesn't anyone do it? Would it be successful? Would it not be successful? And just from a, you know, again, not obviously can't use anything perishable. It's going to be something that can be shipped and shelf stable and all those things. I just figured you'd be the right person to ask.
Well, I appreciate that. I feel like that's very, it just reminds me of an infomercial, right? And not that that's a bad thing at all. Many people have said, advisors and some of our investors are like, you should be on air. Right. And I'm like, well, that's a nice compliment. Appreciate that. Whatever. Not whatever, but I'm like, you know, what is it that me as the founder of the company could say, it's like, sure, I deliver it with conviction. There's no question about that. But I think when other people are talking about a product and using it and how much they like it and the way it smells and the way it makes their food taste, I just feel that comes across as more believable than me telling you your food's going to taste good, or me having my own dish and being like, oh, I made, and that's why I don't make my own like videos using Grillicious, because I'm like, oh, well, of course he's going to say.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I'm talking more of, you wouldn't be on camera, right? It would be people who use the product, people who have bought the product, people who like the product, but then have the return flip side to be like, okay, I'm going to sell or promote this product. So it wouldn't be you necessarily on camera.
True.
You know, so somebody's in, I don't know, their home or their kitchen, and they're like wiping down a pan, and they're like, I'm going to make some eggs, and they're making the eggs and showing how easy it is to use. And it's like, get your Grillicious now. I just, it is infomercial, right? But it's rather than you're trying to get eyeballs to go to like QVC, right? They have to go watch the program at that time. It could randomly pop up on anyone's algorithm at any given time. And there's times where crap pops up and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Let me just watch this person for 10 minutes. And I think one time I bought something, I was like, oh shit, I think I actually need that. And I bought it. I liked the thing I bought, and it was a decent price. But I mean, not to say that they didn't have influence on that.
Right. But here, just think about the word you just said back for, just about like in that sentence, like when you were speaking, you talked about the flip, like flipping it over. That's what flip does. It creates these regular people who believe in the product and sell it.
Right. Right. Yep, same thing. That's basically what it is, just on a multitude of platforms. I've just been thinking about it more and more
I've been
interacting with CPG products, and they're like, how do I get my product out there? And it's like, well, you know, if you had a few people that do that online, and they're incentivized by, if their sales going through, they're just getting a small cut or commission out of that, well, then that's no work for you. It's just, these are the points you have to talk about or say, you know, but then it gets you exposure to your product. Anyway. I don't want to get off topic. That was just something that's been on my mind, and I just wanted to ask you about it.
Oh, totally good. What else you got, Jeff? I'm here.
So, you know, I know we're coming close on time, but the Super Bowl's around the corner, man. We're at the time of recording this, we're going into championship weekend. You know, I think that this is like the prime opportunity, and it's kind of the start of the grill, even though it's a little early, right? Depending where you're at.
People are going to be grilling. They're going to be grilling.
Oh, for sure. For Super Bowl, they're going to be grilling. They're going to be cooking, you know. I highly think that this is a product that you should probably pick up if you don't already have some. But, you know, when people see this, they'll have a couple of weeks to grab it. And I know you mentioned places like Walmart, Tractor Supply that you're getting into. But where is it easiest to find? Is it countrywide? Like, if I go to any Walmart, can I find it?
No. Definitely go to Walmart.com. Go to Amazon.com. Okay. Go to our website. Go to the grommet. So those are the four primary sources that I would feel comfortable directing people to. So that would be the key there. One of the things that works really well, just to share, you know, especially for, you know, thinking about like, Super Bowl weekend, using Grillicious and air fryers, it just crushes it. It really does. and it's super easy to clean up afterwards. You don't have to line it. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is rinse it with some soap and water. That is, and make sure that it's the cartridge kind of air fryer. Like if you use one, it's a little bit more difficult, but you just wipe down the inside of that air fryer and then squeeze a little bit on the chicken wings, hit it again while it's cooking. Your wings will be fantastic. They should be fantastic.
Air fryers, even though I'm a chef, like an air fryer is my cheat code to life with children. Yeah. Because I can put anything in there, have it done in like 10 minutes or less for the most part. I mean, I've done pork loin. I've done all sorts of stuff in there, but everything. It's just so easy and it's nice and crispy and you don't have to do the extra work. Yeah. If you don't have an air fryer, invest in an air fryer, then get yourself some Grillicious, wipe that down, which I'm going to end up doing now because I'm like, oh my gosh, for my wings, I got to do that. So, okay. So Walmart, Amazon, direct retail, go there to get it. Any other last words, parting things? Where do people find you outside of the website, socials, etc.?
We're on Instagram. We have a small following on TikTok. We're starting to build that up. We're on TikTok shop if for anybody who's out there. It's just check us out on Instagram. That's where we live. That's where you'll see other people using it in a variety of different ways. And it's like I was saying before, I think a third party testimonial is really the way to go. Mm-hmm. And on some of the posts you may see like, oh, paid for partnership. We pay with product, just to be clear. We're not paying them money. It's not advertising or anything like that. And these are people that have I've been sourced, they have anywhere from 2,000 to 100,000 plus followers, and they're looking for good content and they find really fun ways to use Grillicious. And I know anybody listening to this, you try it once, you're going to be like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. This makes it so much easier for me to cook my food and it's going to taste good as well. So
yeah, I'm excited. I know I'm going to get some soon, and I've got, you know, right behind me, I've got literally some dry aged stuff. I cannot wait. Like the applications to enhance things, I can't wait to get my hands on it. And to your point, to just play with it and see what comes of it. And I just, I'm one of those people online that likes to just create fun videos for people to see. So yeah, you've got to check out Aaron. You got to check out Grillicious. Great team. Great dude. I appreciate all your time today telling the backstory. So go out, get your Grillicious, because the Super Bowl's around the corner. That's the way to kick it off. Then you're going to be hooked and you will be a customer for life. I will almost, without even trying it, I will almost promise you that.
Yeah. And just remember, it's easy and Grillicious makes it more delicious.
Grillicious makes it more delicious. All right, Aaron, with that, we're going to wrap. And until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
Thanks, Chef.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.